Oh, April.
April. MJ.
MJ. Kennedy. Nice to meet you, MJ and Kennedy.
We're at the Cloak and Dagger podcast, so we're just roaming the floor, checking things out.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah.
No way, well, you're at the right place. Get some heavenly fog for you today. It's all free.
All free.
Just for you.
Thank you so much.
Having fun? Yeah.
Listen, you're the most honest, you're the most important people here.
Oh yeah.
There's ministers, government officials,
and
big
there's
wigs.
The coffee makers. And
make
yeah.
But they don't make you coffee. So no. Fundamentally the barista is
the most important.
Sorry, I didn't even order it. Have a flat white, please.
Absolutely.
Thanks very much.
There you go.
Thanks, guys.
Enjoy.
Thank you.
All right. Yep. Cheers.
Cheers.
Mmm. That's good coffee.
That is
man.
Good coffee.
This is Cloak and Dagger, a podcast about OSINT, technology, and global conflict. I'm MJ Benias. Podcast is powered by Sapper Labs Group. For more, visit www.sapperlabs.com.
My name is Charlotte Duval-Antoine. I'm the Ottawa Operations Manager and a fellow at the Canadian Global Affairs Institute. It's a think tank that looks into foreign affairs, defense, and energy security policy that is based in Ottawa and Calgary. And basically what I do is I deal with all the operational aspects of the Institute coming out of Ottawa. So from organizing events, producing podcasts, doing the fun parts of administration like accounting. But also on the side in my fellows capacity, I do research on culture change in the Canadian military and personnel management issues.
I want to talk about your book.
It's titled The Ones We Let Down. It came out with McGill Queen's University Press a year ago now. It's an academic book. It's my master's thesis I was able to publish, peer-reviewed, guys. So, like, it stands on its own academically. So, I did a great job.
Well done.
Yeah. It's like pat on the back writing a book at 25.
Yeah.
So, it looks into women's integration in the Canadian military. So, there was a Canadian Human Rights Tribunal order in February 1989 saying the military needs to reach full gender integration by 1999. And what I find interesting reading that order and reading about that history of women's integration is that at the same time, there was a decade of darkness in the military. So budget cuts of about 30% of the military's budget, downsizing, about a third of the military size was cut down. There was a lot of peacekeeping missions that did not turn out as well as we had hoped. There was war crimes committed by Canadians in Somalia and in today Montenegro. And so I wanted to look at, and also a scandal, a sexual misconduct scandal, like sounds familiar, in 1998. And I wanted to look into all of that broadly. And it's putting back gender integration in its overall historical context of the decade of darkness and why it didn't work and why in 2021 we found ourselves with another scandal, this time impacting general and flag officers who came of age in the military at that time. I mean, I started writing it in 2018, 2019, so I worked on that before the next scandal, but then I got my peer review back during the scandals, so I was able to include all of that into the fold. And basically what I'm arguing is twofold, is that during the decade of darkness, there was a toxic leadership in the Canadian military. And I kind of used the doctrine to say, here's what a toxic leadership Canadian style looks like, because Canada doesn't have those conversation. In the United States, there's a lot of conversation, especially after Vietnam, but not in Canada. So I wanted to bring that into the conversation and also to really raise awareness about the unintended consequences of policies and the fact that it can have very dire consequences for people. And that involves assault, that involves sexual misconduct, that involves like retention issues, like large retention issues, but also that can involve like Canadian soldiers torturing a Somali teenager to death.
How was the book received? I can imagine it ruffled a couple feathers.
Well, actually, it was way more well-received than I thought it would. I was expecting, at best, polite indifference, being like, oh, you kiddo, you wrote a book, congratulations. But actually, I think it arrived at the right time. It arrived right, like, a week before the Arbor report came out. So it was, like, the perfect timing. And so a lot of senior flag officers and some officers in the military have read it and came to me, and we had good conversations about that. So it was well received. Whether or not people have extracted the same lessons that I have from that book and whether it's going to help move things forward in 2023 now, I don't know. But it was very well received, surprisingly so. And I think that the perk of that is that because it was history, because I didn't outright about the present, and a lot of people can be like, hey, like, I was too young to do anything. And I would be like, well, actually, mansplain everyone why they're not off the hook yet. But it's also approaching that issue in terms of systems rather than people. I do not think that people are necessarily bad people, and that can make me naive. But as someone who has experienced like a toxic family environment growing up, and like I was a toxic person growing up, like I was not a very, I didn't know how to cope healthily with things. I have bullied people just to make myself feel better. And once I understood, like, first of all, left that environment, like learned from it, I was able to like be a kinder person and learn from that and really just trying to kind of redeem myself in a way and like always treat a person like an end in themselves and like really value them for who they are rather than just being like I used to do as a kid and like use them for my own purposes. And this is what I say. I say sometimes it's the environment that make people this way. Like it doesn't mean that like you're gonna have people no matter what, they're gonna do misconduct. But we need to take into account that if you're having misconduct at such a scale, it might not be the bad apples. It might be the system that rots people. And bad apples spoils the barrel too. So we need to think about those dynamics of like people trying to survive in a toxic environment might make them toxic in the long run because they're trying to cope for their own sake, right? And so I do think that because I was like separating the responsibilities of the organization from the responsibility of people, not letting them off the hook, I do think that they have agency in all of that. But I kind of push back against the idea of radical freedom, being like you can be the best person you can even in a toxic environment, because like you don't have the time to really think about it. You have a job to do. There's so many factors that you cannot break yourself free from that. And so I think that separation also helped a little bit, because I was not just pointing fingers at people and being like, you suck, but more like, hey, you need to reflect on your actions. Like, they are mitigating factors, but you also, like, your good intentions might not have the intended effect, and you need to reflect on that. And you need to accept that sometimes, like, even with your best intention, you might do harm. So how do you move forward from that? And that was kind of my approach. Like, and I think that by approaching the problem by saying, no, like, I'm not painting the military as, like, a group of bad people, but mostly, like, a group of people that didn't know how to deal with a bad environment, that let bad people thrive, then, like, that created a degree of separation that make my argument a little bit more palatable.
Oh, okay. So let's talk about that. What are the issues that you sort of see regularly in this world?
So, I mean, right now the main topic is around diversity, equity, and inclusion, obviously, but what I'm realizing mostly is that it's the racial and gender tip of the iceberg. What we're finding ourselves into right now in the military, but I would say also in the Canadian defense sector more broadly, is that we have a lack of modernizing our way of thinking about personal issues, our way of thinking about what kind of labor we truly value in the sector. and how we advance on that, and also modernizing the values that go with it. We still have some of hangups in like the way that is proper connection, professional connection, or even proper relationships. And as a young person in the sector, also a Francophone and an immigrant in all of that, like I'm seeing barriers that I have to overcome. And it's also because I'm in more, like people know me more about my administrative role rather than like my research. My research is on the side. It's something that I do, that I engage the military and the Minister of National Defense with on a semi-regularly basis, but my day job is administrative. And because it's administrative, it's not as valued to some people. And so when I find myself in big conferences that I organize myself, or even events like CANSEC, my input and engaging with me is sometimes not seen as valuable because I cannot bring something to them at a high level because I'm an administrative person and not like the big person that's gonna talk about money and sponsorship, or I don't even know anything about equipment. And so by that point, I'm just like kind of shun aside. And it's that complexity, right? I do think that everyone has a place in this defense sector, and like we all bring different things. And like as a administrative person, I think more about logistics than I think about like the outputs in themselves. And that gets stuck on the wayside from time to time. And yeah, that's what I've been thinking a lot about, like the structural issues and how that impacts informal relationships.
I mean, it's interesting. We're so focused, especially at any event, you know, it's always about the decision makers, right? You focus on the decision makers, the people who have the ability to spend money.
Yeah, I think that sometimes like the longer run, like the long-term thinking can kind of get lost in Canada, I find. Like, and I see that also discussing personnel management issues in the military, is that we kind of forget processes a little bit from time to time for the sake of like the short-term goal. And this is what I have been thinking a lot about, like, what are we ready to accept in for the sake of performance, for the sake of like achieving your short-term goal? And also we are so stuck on the high-level people that sometimes we're not also thinking about the folks that are like doing the job on a day-to-day basis and might see things that people at the high level do not see. And so like there's kind of silos in the conversations that we're having that I think is kind of too bad, and I think we're missing a piece of the puzzle. And this is why sometimes I think that we get stuck in one way of thinking, and we've been stuck in it for a while, especially with the Russian invasion of Ukraine. Like, we're going back to a Cold War way of thinking about things, which I think is kind of short-sighted when we're thinking about the fact that like threats are coming from everywhere pretty much now, and especially when you're looking also at the cyber level, right? So like those silos and short-term thinking is like pretty much what I'm trying to address, like both in my professional capacity when I'm trying to build bridges with people, like especially as a Francophone, as an admin person, and I'm as a younger person, I'm gonna do that at my level. Like, I'm not gonna go to the CEO of a company and be like, hey, be my friend. But at least trying to build a little bit of a community so that we can geek out together and kind of also empower each other to like have those higher level conversation from our standpoints and for that to be valued down the line.
This is a very real conversation. You're a very kind of like real spicy person. It's.
I like to joke that I'm too French to be the Canadian polite, and I love deep conversation. I'm an introvert, even though it doesn't come like that in this podcast. But I don't like small talk. Like, I get energized by having deep conversation with people, and I've been nerdy since as long as I can remember. So here you are. It's the combination of that at 26.
Whether you are an elected official, a corporate executive, a fellow at a think tank, an office administrator, or a barista, how you treat people and the voice you choose to give someone really says a lot about the organization and society you belong to. Thank you to Charlotte Duval-Antoine for joining me at the Cloak & Dagger podcast booth at CANSEC in Ottawa. For more OSINT and national security content, visit www.cloakanddagger.blog. I'm MJ Benias. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.